Thank you for the music. Happy Sabbath again. Our redemption is near, right? It's coming. Redemption's here. All right. I think we are blessed to have so many students from this church too in our academy here. How many do we have? Yes, from Harmona.
I think it's more than 20.
More than 20. Amen. Amen. Are we blessed for that?
Amen. Yes.
But there is a downside of that. Right? But that's okay. When events like today's event happens, like in Sacramento, you have the church half empty. But that's fine. That's fine. The parents need to support their kids, right? So we're happy to be here. And today we're going to talk about something very important, I think. There is something in my heart as a pastor, and this is my conviction. And this conviction has been reinforced lately in some of the pastoral meetings that we had in our conference. And my conviction is that we, as church, are to be active. We are to be involved in the community. Amen? A few years ago, I listened to a sermon in Soquel. I didn't listen to a sermon in Soquel. The sermon was preached in Soquel, but I listened later in YouTube. And the preacher posed a question. Is if your church, let's say if Harmona Church, were to be closed, would the community notice it? And really that got me. You know? At that time I was a pastor in another church in Lindsay. And my response at that time was, maybe not. So the same question is for us today. Let's say if our church has to close their doors, its doors, would the community notice it? I think that's a challenging question, right? Very deep. So my sermon today, my message today, has to do with that. And again, my conviction is we need to get involved with the community. And it's the only way to do outreach. Especially in times like this where church attendance is declining. Church attendance, according to different studies and surveys, has fluctuated. You know, it reached the maximum attended in the 90s, it was 50%. So people who was asked, are you attending church regularly? 50% of them responded yes. But the last survey at 2017, it got down to 36%. That's a Christian church in general. I don't know how Adventist. Church growing is declining. It's only 5% of the churches in general in the United States who are actually growing. 80% is declining. I think 50% remains flat. How are we as a church? If you think of the past maybe 10 years, are we growing? Are we flat or are we declining? I don't know. I have been here only for 7 months now. But I think our goal as a church is to grow, not only biologically, right? Which I think we're doing a good job. But that's okay. But new members, How are we going to do that? And I always going to say this, and we know that. You know, the main purpose of the church is to proclaim the gospel. We need to be missionary driving. Would you agree with that? We cannot stay static and quiet and doing nothing. How do we do church? Doing church is not only coming to church every Sabbath or prayer meetings, which is good, right? But it's just that's just part of it. And I have been having conversations with the elders and some have of the departments, leaders of this church, about doing something different. So to keep our church active. And I just read last week from the book Christian Service by Ellen G. White, a statement that really like it. An active church is a living church. And activity doesn't mean preparing programs. That's good. God deserves that, right? But church happens not only in Sabbath. Church happens every day. Would you agree with that? So, in active church, meaning doing service, providing service to our community, to our neighbors. And brothers and sisters, let me confess something for you. To you this morning, this is the most talented and gifted church that I ever pastored. And I'm proud of that. I'm thankful with God. But also I can feel the responsibility. What are we going to do as church, such a talented church, we're going to do to advance the progress of the preaching of the gospel? What are we going to do? God give us talent and gifts and knowledge. Amen? In different areas. But yet, maybe we not notice it in the community. And that's something that really bothers me as a pastor. So, let's see what is the situation. When Jesus heard that what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. So Jesus was always mingling with the crowds, right? Crowds would follow Jesus from different towns. When Jesus spent most of his ministry not in the temple, but outside the temple, in the towns. So that tells us something about doing church. You get the point? Again, church is not just coming every Sabbath here and worship God. That's amazing, that's grace, and that should be inspiring for us. But church also happens outside the church, outside the temple, outside the building. Are you with me? When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, look at this. He had what? Compassion. Are we seeing the crowd, brothers and sisters, around us? And not only that, are we seeing them, but do we have compassion of them? And heal their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowd away." What a statement, right? Is that what we're doing? Because it might be that we see the multitude, we see the crowds. Yes, there's a lot of, so many needs around us, right? But we just say, well, we just send it to, you know, there's this agency that provides this. We send it away. Oh, they need that. Okay, let's send it away because we cannot deal with it. That was the apostle's solution for this problem. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food. Now, let's not criticize the disciples, right? Because maybe they were offering a solution that was the best solution for them. You know, it's getting late. They saw the need. They saw the multitude. It's not that they were not saying, they were not looking and seeing the problem. They saw the crowd. They understood what was the problem. But they just came up with a solution that was a human solution. But Jesus has a different plan. And that's something we need to understand. Again, so we might see the situation in our neighborhoods, in our community. We might even feel compassionate about it. But we don't come up with a solution. God's solution for that. Let's see what happened. What was the need? I'm going to read this again. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. That's the need. So he began to teaching them many things. Notice that Jesus was a teacher. He spent most of his time teaching and healing, not preaching. And I'm going to read a quote from N.G. White about that. Preaching is not enough. And that bothers me as a pastor. Because I'm not a preacher, right? We preach a lot. We preach a lot about God's love for people. But do we translate that love to action? Do we show acts of love to people? That's the question that should we ask ourselves. So what was the need? They were like a sheep without a shepherd. Okay? They were lost. They were confused. You know, the sheep depends almost 100% on the shepherd. And that describes the condition of our society today. Isn't that true? People don't know what to believe. They're confused. There's depression, there's anxiety, there's fear. You know, we're talking about coronavirus, people is in fear. Anxiety. There is two major mental health problems in our society today. Which one are they? Depression and anxiety. All over the place. That's the condition of the world today. Are we going to let the crowd go away? Are we going to send it away from us? What are we going to do? Okay. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. People feel helpless. Now, we're never going to solve our community problems. Totally, right? What they need, yes, is food, is clothes, is shelter, is health, but that's not their biggest need. They need Jesus. They need the Lord. And all those things are the means. so we can reach out to them. And we're going to see what was Jesus' method to do that. But the main purpose for us is to share the love of God, that there is hope, because this world is hopeless. Like sheep without a shepherd, then he say to his disciple, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into the harvest field. We're going to go back to that verse at the end, okay? So people was tired, people was, hungry, people was hopeless, people was lost, and they were very what? Vulnerable. Okay, what was the apostle's solution? Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away. And it's not that they don't want to deal with that, but this is the first time Jesus feeds the multitude. So they haven't seen a miracle like this before. So they didn't know that Jesus has the power to do a miracle and to meet their needs at that time and that moment. Are you with me? So it's not that they didn't see. They were trying to find a solution. Hey, you know, Jesus, it's getting late. And guess what? Everybody, you know, has been here. They're tired. Their children, they're sick. Send them away so they can find food. There's no potluck today. All right? So they're trying to find a solution. The only thing was that it was a human solution. All right. Now was a challenge. What was Jesus' solution? Wait a minute. We're not sending them away. Okay? You. And this, you know, this really got me. It is you. It is me. It is Armona Church. You say amen to that? It is you. We are to be resourceful to the community. What do we have? What is the gift that God has given you? Not for your own glory. Not to keep it for yourself. But to help others in this community, in your neighborhood. Did you get the point? So Jesus didn't say, okay, yeah, let's send them. Let's get some buses or some boats and then, you know, send them. Send them to Walmart, send them to, yeah, somewhere they can find food. No. It is your responsibility. Now, I like this text because could Jesus just perform a miracle? And, you know, just, okay, here's the bread, here's the fishes, and here's whatever it is, you know? But he passed this responsibility to the disciples. Why? Because he wants Christians to get involved in this process. Again, this book, Christian Service, mentioned in the first chapter that God could use angels to proclaim the gospel. But he chose to use human beings to do the work. So what a privilege. You know why? Because when you serve your neighbor, when you serve the community, they benefited from that. But you are the most benefited. Would you agree with that? So it is for our own good, even for our own salvation. Someone said, the best way to enter heaven, to go heaven, is helping others to go heaven. Right? Amen. Because God wants you to experience the joy of serving others. Because God wants you to fight your selfishness, my selfishness. And the only way to do that is by serving others. Just putting self aside and let God use you in a mighty way. God wants to perform miracles through you. What a privilege. I don't deserve anything, but God wants to use me as an instrument of his grace. Something that I don't deserve. We don't deserve. So he's saying, it's you, and that's the challenge. You. You give them something to eat. In other words, you are the one who are supposed to meet the needs of those needy, those who are in need. And like we said before, there's a lot of needs in this community, different kind of needs. What do we have? Ellen G. White, we are to show the tender sympathy of the Samaritan in supplying physical necessities, feeding the hungry, bringing the poor that are cast out to our homes, gathering from God everyday grace and strength that will enable us to reach to that very depth of human misery. Is there human misery in the world? And help those who cannot possibly help themselves. In doing this work, we have a favorable opportunity to set forth Christ, the crucified one. So it's a great opportunity. Community outreach. Okay? Meeting the needs. Now, I like this quote for Tony Campolo. He's a pastor, but also he's a sociologist. Okay, so very renowned speaker and researcher in sociology and church. Now listen to this. This is very important. We have a lot of young people here. Amen? And we want to keep them active and involved in the church. Look to this quote. Perhaps young people are not attracted so much by a church that tries to what? What are we doing? Entertain them? Are we just entertaining them? That's not the goal. Okay? Especially now with millennials and new generations. Okay? As they are attracted to a church that what? Challenge them to do things for others. Amen? So that's why I like what Brother Castillo is promoting. He said, you know, that they're going to bring the youth. Amen? The best way to keep the youth in the church active is to challenge them. Amen? So we're going to have a meeting this coming Thursday with the elders and some head departments. And we're going to do some planning on this. Amen? How do we do active ministry? How do we use our talents and goals and gifts that God has given us to help others? Amen? Not only to help us. Yes, we need to help us. We need to do internal evangelism, right? That's important. But the best way to keep ourselves close to God and active and warm is what? Helping others. That's the best way. I have seen that in many churches. Churches that are inactive, there's a lot of conflict, a lot of gossiping, complaints, because many people just come and, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but just to warm up the pew, right? It doesn't work like that. But if we keep ourselves active, if we are compassionate like Jesus Christ, it's going to be a healthy church. God will take care of problems. God will take care, the Holy Spirit will take care of conflicts in our church. Amen? All right, so if your Adventist church provided concrete ways to for young people to minister to the needs of others and to effect social change in the world, they will find your church very attractive. They will find your church, I'm sorry, young people just may be looking for a church that appeals to their latent idealism by challenging them to be agents of God's revolution and to be part of his movement to bring healing and justice to his broken world. So get the youth involved. What are the resources? The answer, we have only, how many? 5 bread, loaves of bread, and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. About how many? 5,000 men, only men. What do we have? And this is what the disciples' problem, that it was, they had too little. Wait, was it too little? Not really, because Jesus was there. And we might think, oh, Pastor, there's so much need in this community, and we have too little. Let's not think like that. We don't have too little. We have a lot. Amen? With God's blessing. God can use us in a mighty way with too little. Because God is a God of miracles. And when you do work for the community, God does the miracle in multiplying those resources. You know, money, resources, is not a problem for God. That's not a problem because he owns everything. He owns the gold and the silver. And I've seen that in my ministry. God provides. So money is not a problem. Okay? Remember that. Now the miracle. Bring them here to me. That's so little that you have, bring it to me. I'll take care of it. Just bring it. But you have to bring it. Okay? You have to be willing to commit yourself. Whatever talent and gift that God gives you, commit it to God. If not, you're going to lose it. Amen? You might lose it. Just bring it to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples. You know, always is to the disciples. Always is to the church. Amen? To the church. It's you and I. It's us. And the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Amen? We are to satisfy people's need. Okay? And some pastors are afraid that our church may turn into just a community agency, community-based agency, because we're doing this kind of community work. Let me tell you that that's not the case. We have to keep the balance, right? We have the truth. We have our doctrines. We have to preach about that. But the way to preach the doctrine and get to the people is through doing some community work before that. Nobody is going to listen to a stranger. Would you? If someone comes to your door and knocks the door and tell you, hey, I have this belief that I want to share with you, would you listen to that person? You never saw that person before? No. Has to be a trust relationship before that. All right? Okay. So let's move on. They were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Amen? God is good. God always provide, and always going to be leftovers. The method. This is from NGY. We need to come close to the people by personal effort. Amen? Personal effort. Meeting the needs. Okay? If we will give less time to... Here's the the statement that she wrote about sermonizing. If we give less time to do, to do what? Sermonizing. You know, I need to dedicate less time to sermonize the church, right? And more time to personal ministry. Amen? Greater results will be seen. The poor are to be relieved, the sick cared for, the sorrow and the bereaved comforted, the ignorant instructed, the inexperienced counseled. We are to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. Amen? Accompanied by the power of the persuasion, the power of prayer, the power of the love of God, this world will not, cannot be without fruit. Amen? We want to grow. We want to better success. We need to do this. Or do we just want to remain flat in our growing? That's up to us. But this is my challenge to you this morning. I assume that we want to grow up. I assume that we want to finish the work. Amen? Because this is the only way to enter heaven, by helping others to go heaven. How are we going to do that? What's the method? Personal ministries, meeting their needs. Okay? And then Jesus clarified this. I love this quote from N.G. White. And it's very familiar for you, I think. Christ's method alone, meaning what? There's no other method. There's only one method. Amen? There's only one method. Okay? There's no point to organizing an evangelistic crusade. 1 week of evangelism here. Bringing an excellent preacher. That's part of evangelism, right? If we haven't worked for the people. Are you with me? Yeah, there might be some people that might come to church to evangelism series and get converted. That's wonderful. That's great. But that's not the method. Would you agree with that? Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior, what? Mingle. I'm sorry. The Savior will mingle with people. Thank you. What mingling mean? Relationship, right? Spending time. Not sending the crowd away. As one who decided good, he showed sympathy. Amen? He showed sympathy. We were talking about this with the elders. When we have a visitor, show sympathy to them. That's a ministry. Okay? Talk to them. Welcome them. Amen? They may feel welcome in this church. Show the love of God to that person. Amen? Minister for their needs. It was not only about, you know, doctrine. It was about also meeting their needs. That's what we want to do in this church. And whom their confidence, I'm sorry, and won their confidence, then what? Invited them. We can do the invitation first. We cannot do the Bible. We cannot do the Bible study first. We have to develop a relationship with the people first. Would you agree with that? And then, would you like to have Bible studies? And you see how people will positively react to that. Amen? Because this is Christ's method. Now, I'm going to show you something very quick. This is my dream as a pastor, that we have active, ongoing ministries in our church. And I hope this will be also your dream. Amen? It's a challenge for you. What do you have? God has given you talents and gifts. Now look what this church did. Of course, this is a very big ministry. So many ministries established in this church. But I think we need to start looking at that direction. We can start with small things, right? Small things. We have to do everything at the same time. Changing church perspective and church mentality and church beliefs and mindset and culture takes time. But we need to start. And I'm going to be hammering on this, okay? Sorry. But this is the purpose of the church. To do outreach in using Jesus Christ method. Now, what this church did, this is in Canada. They developed this ministry and took years to doing that. It's called Act of Kindness Ministry. Now, can we play the video and see all the community services that they offer, all with volunteers?
Question: if the doors of our church were to close today, would anyone in the community even notice?
Brutally honest answer that came back to them was no one would notice.
So the church intentionally set out to make a lasting impact in their community through service and named their Adventist Community Services Outreach Program Acts of Kindness, or AOK.
The church began to grow spiritually and numerically as a result.
The congregation grew so much they needed a larger facility.
We didn't want to build a church just for us. We wanted to bring community people to church who normally wouldn't maybe attend a church.
We wanted it to be a facility that the community would use.
So in 2015, the Church in the Valley, formerly the Alder Grove Adventist Church, opened their new facility designed with many features to serve the community.
We involve people in ministry based on the knowledge, skills, and passions that they already have.
If you have gifts of cooking, you can use cooking as a way of evangelism. You're a mechanic? You can fix cars and give them away to moms that are in need.
Using their three-bay automotive garage, the Cars for Moms ministry gives away, on average, a car a month.
It's a ministry of God, bringing that person together with the right vehicle and giving them a new chance.
Fix the cars and do what's needed to get people back on the road again.
They regularly host a single mom's oil change, a special event for kids and moms alike.
People don't realize how much, as a single parent, living on a very fixed budget and very fixed income, how much something like an oil change can mean to you and how it can help you.
The AOK Center has a food pantry, a clothing pantry, and a full suite for emergency and guest lodging.
We have had thousands of people come through this facility from the community. People are being introduced to who Seventh-day Adventists are.
AOK reaches far beyond the borders of the church property. For over 20 years, they have run a breakfast club at a local elementary school for children in need.
They have nourishment, they can do better in school, which means that they'll be able to do better in life. And every kid needs that chance.
Acts of Kindness has been helping me out my whole life. Every morning, my mom couldn't afford daycare, so she'd drop us off at school. They would feed us every morning, and it was always so good.
AOK also runs an amazing program called Extreme Home Repair to repair and rebuild homes of those in their community that desperately need help.
Extreme Home Repair started in 2004, and so this is our 14th year. See that girl on the ladder back there? She was a recipient in 2010. She had asthma, mold on the windows, health issues.
But after the renovation, I haven't been to the hospital since.
Her and her brother have come every year to keep helping out, to pay it forward.
It changed so much for me, and it wasn't just the house being renovated, but it was seeing hundreds of people who worked on my house put in so much time and effort and love.
Extreme Home Repair isn't about their home, it's about their lives. We want to put their lives back together again.
Oh, I had just lost my son, Christopher, to cancer, and I really wasn't sure how much they could actually do. So when when it came to the day and I saw the crowd of people just waiting for me to see my house, and I knew right then and there that it was probably the most beautiful thing. The church couldn't bring my son back to me, but what they did was they brought my life back to me.
It does change your life. It really does. And I became a member of this church. I found Jesus.
Like, when people give themselves like that, and there's camaraderie and there's a lot of heart, it renews people, because we go through life and we get these knocks.
And it's exciting to volunteer and know you're changing someone's life.
We are not here for ourselves. We're here for the community.
If this church closed its doors tomorrow, it would be sorely missed by our community.
When our Adventist churches catch a vision of service, our denomination will explode throughout North America, because Adventist community services and acts of kindness, that's what makes a difference in people's lives. That's what opens up their hearts and their minds to any possibility of growing spiritually.
Here's the challenge today. We can start small, right? We can start now. So I want you to start thinking in your mind, because we're going to be preaching about this. You're going to hear me a lot about this. Start thinking about what can you do for the community. Amen? And like I said, you're welcome to come this coming Thursday, 6:30, so we can plan together different ideas. I favor ongoing ministry over one-day events. Those are good, yeah, especially if we do a follow-up. But ongoing, like those right there, you can maybe scroll down and see. They have so many ministries. But one thing, none of this money comes from the church treasurer department. They have so many different ways to raise money to implement all these kind of services to the community. Again, for God, money is not a problem. So I want you to feel challenged today. Amen? Start praying. God, how can you use me to do outreach in the community? What's the talent you have given me? That way, you know, when we develop this relationship with the community, then we can talk about the doctrine. And let that to God. Amen? Don't go to a community and provide these services expecting them to come and get baptized. No. Go to a community because you love the community. You love your neighbor, amen? And you want to share God's love to them. All right, I know it's late. Let's stand up for the final hymn. Probably going to sing only a couple stanzas. And again, please pray for this.